our scriptural affirmation comes out of our hymnals then. It's Christian Conduct, 685 in the hymnal. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.
Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth.
For you have died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, fornication, impurity, passion, evil, desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry.
On account of these, the wrath of God is coming.
In these you once walked when you lived in them. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old nature with its practices and have put on the new nature, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator.
Hear there, God, be Greek and Jew, circumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man, but Christ is all and in all.
Lord, help us to put off the works of darkness today. Help us to just throw off that and stand in your marvelous light. Fill us with your Holy Spirit this day. We welcome you here, Father. We ask that the Spirit of the living God would just flow through us in such a wonderful way. In the name of Jesus, the character of Jesus, everything about Jesus will be on our lips and in our hearts. It's in Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen. You may be seated. We stand here right now, this day, on your word. It's in you we live and move and have our very being. And we are grateful, Lord, that you, by your power, by your choice, have called us unto yourself. And it's by grace we are saved. You make the difference in our lives. You make us alive in you. And we are grateful. Speak to us today, Lord. Help us to grasp your amazing, wondrous truth so that we might be bright lights, letting our light so shine among men that they see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Word of God is such a fascinating thing. The Bible was just absolutely amazing to me. I get a real kick out of it. But there are times when I'm looking in the Word of God and I say, this is harsh. This is tough. What am I going to do with this? How am I going to share this with folks? In fact, you know, normally we use as our scriptural affirmation the text that I'm going to preach, and that kind of gives you a look into what we're going to do and get you thinking that way. But today I said, no, I don't think so. I don't think so, because it was just a little rough, and I want us I never want to sugarcoat the Word of God. That's not what I want to do. And I never want to make it less than what God is saying. That's not what I want to do. But I want you to be able to hear in the way that God is speaking you. God loves us, and he draws in his word wonderful pictures. In fact, in this scripture that we're going to go to, Hosea, we're going to start a new book today, Hosea. And this picture that he draws for us is really an amazing thing. He draws a picture of a marriage that represents the marriage that he had with Israel, he had with the people of God. Sometimes you get these wonderful pictures. Yesterday I had a tremendous experience, We had a meeting here earlier in the day, and so we were running a little late to go and see as everybody celebrated the 60th anniversary of Ralph and Judy Bates. And that was such a fantastic thing because it's a picture of God's absolute grace. And as we come in, Judy is up testifying to the goodness and grace of her Lord and Savior who has allowed them to stay together all of these years. And then Ralph gets up and talks about the fact that, you know, heaven is real and we need to be prepared for that. We need to be making sure that that's where we're going. And he says, hell is real. And you need to be sure that you understand that this is not just fine talk. This is not just a social experiment we're doing here. We're sharing the truth of the Word of God, of the God of the Word, so that we can be together throughout eternity in the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus. And it was a beautiful thing. It was just such a beautiful thing. I just want to say that Ralph and Judy truly are a picture of God's grace, one that I hope we emulate so that those of us who are married, we strive for those 60 years together and some. And those who have been challenged over the years, something has happened that you're not going to make that, God has grace for you too. When we turn to Hosea, it makes you wonder, do you really want to be a prophet of God? Do you really want to do this thing? You know, when we become Christians, we want all the good stuff, you know. We want to be called all these great things, and we want to be thought of as kind of important. And I'm sure Hosea thought, yeah, God, I'm your man. Whatever you want me to do, I can do. Well, let's see what Hosea was told to do and see if you're ready to hang with Hosea. In the first chapter of Hosea, starting at verse 2, the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. It's interesting, the beginning of his prophetic proclamation is not so much by what he said, but by what he was told to do. So there was a picture that he was to draw with his life. And the Lord said to Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. Hey, Hosea, I want you to go draw a picture for me. I want you to go marry a prostitute, someone who has been extremely promiscuous, sold herself into all kinds of mess. I want you to go marry her because that's going to be a picture of what Israel has done with me. I don't know how I would have handled that. You know, if before I was married, God said to me, you know, you got to go marry a woman of the evening. I'm not so sure that had been a good thing. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. He went, he found this woman, and boy, she just changed overnight. She's just the perfect woman, right? So he went and took Gomer and the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. And the Lord said unto him, call his name Jezreel, For yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. It's really interesting. He has him name a very uncommon name for people in that time, because the valley of Jezreel, the place of Jezreel, the city there and the valley around it, was really a site of all kinds of crazy things that happened, all kinds of battles, all kinds of blood was spilled. One of the most notable is that Jehu was assigned to make sure that he got rid of Ahab's house. So he kills all of Ahab's people. One of the things he did was he had Jezebel thrown out of a window and the dogs ate her body. It was a bloody, bloody mess. But I don't think God punishes him for this. What it was is that after all Jehu had said, all he'd done, all he'd heard, he himself started doing idolatrous things. And so he is going to be avenged. The people of the northern kingdom, at this time Israel was split into two parts, the southern kingdom where Jerusalem was and the northern kingdom. And the northern kingdom is going to be punished greatly. Verse 5. And it shall come to pass at that day I will break the bow of Israel, the strength of Israel, in the valley of Jezreel. And that's what happened. They were nearly destroyed right there in the valley of Jezreel. So, Hosea brings all this wonderful good news. Maybe the second child will be a little bit better. And she conceived again and bare a daughter. You might note that she conceived again, but it doesn't identify that Hosea is the father. And she conceived again and bare a daughter, and God said unto him, call her Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. How would you like to name your child No Mercy? No Pity. Hey, come here, No Pity. We're not taking pity on you. You're just, there's no chance for you. No Pity. No Mercy on you. That would be a horrible name for a child. But then he says, but I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, that's southern part of Israel, and I will have mercy on the house of Judah and will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. So, you look at the Bible again, you say, this is incredible. Did this actually come true? Well, it did. Remember Hezekiah? Hezekiah goes and spreads the word saying, this guy is attacking us, and Lord, look what he's saying about you. And God sends something, and 185,000 warriors are killed in a night. And Judah didn't have to do it. He carried this out. This prophecy came true. But this picture still goes on. Now, when she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she conceived. It's really interesting. He mentions this time that the child was weaned. And in that society, children were weaned about 3 years of age. So this thing is being dragged out for a long time. Just think of it. You're married to this woman who's not right. You know, and so this is 3 years later and you're still having babies, or at least she's still having babies. Then said God, call his name Lo-Ami, for ye are not my people. I will not be your God. What would it be like if God were to come along to First Baptist Church and say, we are not God's people. We are not the people of God. What would it be to lose our very the identification that we have with God? What would it be if we would no longer identify with God? These are the people of God he's talking to, and they are about to lose their identification with God. All that they've been brought up to be, all that they've worked at over all these years, and the one thing that they can always hold on to is that they were God's people. You see, because when you're God's people, you have hope. When you are God's people, you can expect that even though he may chastise you, you can know that he still loves you. You can know that he still cares for you. And that at the end of time, you will be with him forever. You're still his people, but now he's saying, Lo-Ami, you ain't mine. You are no longer my people. Have you ever feel like you just lost your identification with the people of God? I mean, sometimes you just messed up long enough. Sometimes you just been in a mess long enough. Your heart has been away from God for so long. You just don't feel like you're his. What a horrible thought it would be to pray and not believe that God would hear me, even though he had promised to hear his people. But since I'm not sure I'm his people, maybe he doesn't hear me. Turn with me to chapter 3. A lot goes on in the next chapter, but let's go to chapter 3. Then said the Lord unto me, go yet, love a woman beloved of her friend. Love a woman that you've chosen. Love a woman that you're going to care for even in spite of her behavior. Love a people that in spite of who we are, in spite of the fact that all of us have sinned and come short of your glory, you're going to love us anyway. Love us so much that you give your only begotten son that whosoever should believe in you should not perish. Love us so much that in spite of all of the sin that we know we've committed, all of the sin that we know we did, you love us anyway. Love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress. We all mess up. We all look at other things to get our way. We all look at other things to be built up. We all look at other things to care about. But he says, go yet, love a woman, beloved of a friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, to the people that are his people, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. We get our satisfaction from all kinds of other stuff. We get our satisfaction from all kinds of other ways. We get our satisfaction from all kinds of things that we should not get our satisfaction from. Some of us watch too much TV. Some of us do too many drugs. Some of us chase too many relationships. Some of us think way too highly of ourselves. Some of us do things that we simply should not do. In fact, all of us do things that we should not do. That's why there's room made for us. If you confess your sin, He's faithful and just to forgive you your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Because if He couldn't or wouldn't cleanse you from all unrighteousness, you have no chance. Look at this next verse. When I thought about it, it really, really struck me. So I bought her to me. See, she had sold herself into sin. She had sold herself so deeply into sin. Maybe she was a cult prostitute, or maybe she was just living on the street, making as much money as she could just to survive. She's in a bad way that he actually had to buy her out of her mess. And look at this. So I bought her for 15 pieces of silver. Did you know it was 30 pieces of silver to buy a slave? He spent what he had. He gave her 15 pieces of silver for an omer of barley and a half omer of barley. He had to buy her out of the mess. We, if we know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, have been bought out of the mess. The problem with us is that we don't realize we were in a mess. So often we thought we were okay. We were nice people. I just needed to make a little adjustment for me to be fit for God. No. You were lost. You were going to hell. And it's only because of the grace of our God who reached out to you and clicked it on in your mind that you were in a horrible position, and the only way to heaven, the only way to eternal joy, the only way to real peace, the only way for you to be able to get through from day to day to day, the only way for the goodness of God to work in your life, the only way that you would have enough self-control to make it through, the only way to experience the love of God is through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. I would love to say there was some other way. I would love to say that some of us are just the really good people. We're so very, very good that we're doing God a favor. We're just being a nice example for everybody. We're the Ralph and Judy's of marriage. We're the we're all these good things. But our goodness is like filthy rags. So he bought her. Because she had lost everything. And I said unto her, thou shalt abide with me for many days. Let's just try to start over. We're going to start over clean. We're going to start over and no longer indulge. We're going to start over. We're going to give ourselves over to this relationship. We're going to start over. You shall not play the harlot. You should stop this. You got to stop this. Today I'm telling you, if you find yourself in sin, you need to stop this. This is the day to stop. If you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Stop now. You shall not play the harlot. You shall not be for another man. You can't go to someone else. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You just can't do it. So will I also be for thee. But you don't have to worry. As you are true to me, I will be true to you. The Father is telling us, I will be true to you. I will love you. I will care for you. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. I will love you. I will care for you. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe in his heart, he shall have whatsoever he saith. I will love you. But it's not a transactional thing. It's not you do this, I do that. I loved you when you were in your mess and didn't even know it. I love you. It's not a transaction. It's a fulfillment of who I am and whose you are. Whose are you today? Do you know? And I said unto her, thou shalt abide with me many days, and thou shalt not play the harlot. Thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king and without a prince and without sacrifice and without an image and without an ephod and without teraphim. They went for years and years and years and years without having their religious stuff. It wasn't working. They didn't have any of those things. They just had to sit and wait. And who were they waiting on? Jesus. Jesus. Afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, Jesus, who sits on the throne of David, and shall fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, a good understanding of all they that do his commandments and his goodness in the latter days. We're going to know him. We're going to know him. I want to know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Jesus, who was born of a virgin, this Jesus, the one that we had waited on, who lived a sinless life, recognizing who he was, but demonstrating in that he could live a 100% human life, living that life without sin, so that he became the Lamb of God, the one who was qualified to pay for my sin, pay for your sin. You've sinned, and he is able to pay for that. So if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you too can be changed. You too can be made different. He wants to pay. The righteous wrath of God had to be satisfied, had to be propitiated. He paid for all of your sin. He paid it all. All to him I owe. And after a marvelous, wondrous public ministry, he changed water to wine, and he healed the lame, he opened blind eyes so they could see, and he raised people from the dead. And after after all of that, demonstrating that he was the Messiah, demonstrating that he was the very one that they had been waiting for, the Savior of the world, this Messiah, this anointed one. After all of that, that Messiah was pinned to a Roman cross. Feel it. Feel the pain of his feet being nailed. Feel the sorrow he must have felt when they placed a horrid cross on his head and pushed it into his skin so that blood flowed down that he couldn't even wipe away because his hands were nailed. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Pointing to Psalm 22, which demonstrates he knew that he would be the one who would speak and tell of the greatness of God even after the grave. And he pillowed his head and he died. And they stuck a spear, and out came water and blood, his broken heart, his torn body. He's put into a borrowed tomb. 3 days later, 3 days later, he rises again to demonstrate that all that he had preached, all that he had taught, all that had been fulfilled in him was true. And because of that, today we can live. And through Hosea, he says to us, don't be like a prostitute. Don't be like a loose person. Be one. Be one who will serve him cleanly because you've been cleansed by his blood. Would you bow your head with me? Today, if God is speaking to you about the life that he wants to give to you, about, frankly, the life that you have lived to this point, about the strength that you need to keep on going, to believe that he's enough. If he's speaking to you, you might want to pray this prayer. Thank you, Father in heaven, for Jesus dying to pay for my sin. I believe that is payment enough. Now I ask that you would help me. I believe. Help my unbelief. If there are any areas in my life that are not controlled by you, help me this day to surrender. I will not play the whore. I will be yours. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Today the altar is open to you. Love to pray with you. Pray with each other. Pray in your seat. But make sure that you are connected.